Well, amen. It's not long until forever. Amen. I love that thought. And in just not too much time, time will be no more. And praise the Lord for the end of time, because that's the beginning of all eternity and for all of us. So praise the Lord for that. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, usually on Sunday evenings, we've been in a series on teachings of Christ, and we'll continue that next week. But tonight, with it being an ordination service, getting ready to ordain Brother Buddy into the pastoral ministry from the church, and no doubt it's a message that I prayed about and want to present for a challenge and an encouragement to Brother Buddy and his family. But also, it's a message to all of us who would be the servants of God, who desire to serve the Lord, and that should be every born-again believer. You were saved and given spiritual gifts and talents and opportunities to accomplish things for the cause of Christ, and that's a lifelong endeavor, and you never stop doing that until your time on earth is over, amen? And so as long as we have time on this earth and in this physical body, we ought to be thinking about, how can I glorify God with the life that He has given to me? And the different opportunities, different ways, all the different things here. But Peter was that way. The Apostle Peter, discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of the apostles, to carry on the work that Jesus would establish when he was here. He established the New Testament church. And Peter would be very instrumental in the apostolic age and completing the words of God, writing them down, having them preserved for us today throughout this New Testament church age. And so I think it's a good place for us to go tonight. So 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Lord, what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday evening, taking full advantage of this, the Lord's day. And we thank you, Father, for what we've already received and just being in this place tonight. But now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word and we have read this passage of scripture, and I believe that you would have all of us to receive the meaning of these verses and how that they can be applied to our own individual lives and to our lives as a church. Pray that you would anoint and bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Peter, as he was discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ, had already been admonished by Jesus to feed my sheep. We find that in the book of John. In the end of the book of John, and Peter was asking Jesus, and Jesus was asking Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And he continued to reveal to Peter, "Peter, my call upon your life and what I want you to do, one of the most important things that you'll do for the cause of Christ, feed my sheep." So then God had used Peter to pen the words that we have just read in this book of 1 Peter. And Peter was writing to the believers that were scattered abroad, and the believers that were looking to establish New Testament churches and become part of New Testament churches to take the gospel to the world, to see souls saved, and to continue that, and which has been continued to the rapture of the church. And so Peter here then writes, and knowing who he had been admonished by, now he admonishes pastors, the elders, the same position as a pastor, bishop, pastor, which are among you, I exhort, whom I am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a particular of the glory that shall be revealed. But he says, feed the flock of God. Amen. Can I tell you, one of the things that I have focused on more than anything else over the years of my ministry is to feed God's people. Because you can't do anything that's going to help individuals, and you can't do anything that will help the cause of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel through the New Testament church and feed the flock or the people of God. Amen. From Jesus reassuring Peter, that's what I want you to do. And then Peter kept getting a hold of this and realizing what a difference it's making. And then Peter is actually writing himself under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Exactly what we need as churches is to make sure that we're being fed. Spiritual food, the key to a strong and healthy body, the body being the church, the household of God, is feeding the sheep, keeping the body strong, keep the flock strong, feed the sheep. In verse 6, we find here that Peter addresses a great need for pastors and church members. I think the first thing that he addresses here is that we need to make sure that you are preaching the word of God, that you're feeding the sheep spiritual food. The spiritual food is the very words of God. We need it. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we find the Word of God tells us, that you need it more and more. And as we get closer to the end of the church age, there's going to be, as we preach on this morning, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to face. And it's important that we face them with being equipped by God. Being equipped by God is understanding the will and the ways of God and being fed and strengthened by the Word of God. And then he says in verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that ye may exalt you in due time. Peter addresses a great need for not only the pastors but the church members and all of you, he says. Humble yourselves. One of the most important things that a pastor can do after feeding the flock of God, realizing that that's a position that God has given to me as a pastor, is to feed the flock. We've got to preach the word of God to the people of God, and that's something that we will continue to do because Sunday's always coming. At the end of tonight's service, can I tell you, my focus is on usually Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, because it's always, there's always another service, and that next service is the most important service. Feeding the flock of God. But then the second thing that he addresses is, don't think yourself to be the one that can feed. The pastor's not supposed to get before the congregation and say, here am I, listen to what I've got to say, and I want to feed you, I want to direct you as I want to direct you. No, the most important thing, once you understand that position of feeding the flock of God, is to humble yourself before God.
Yes, amen.
You have not arrived when you are called into the pastorate. You're not arrived, you have not arrived when the church votes you in to be their next pastor and to be over them and to feed the flock of God and to be the servant that God wants you to be. No, you've not arrived. You're not the king. You're not really what they need. You are a representation of Christ. And the only way that you can have the power of Christ in your life to be able to feed the flock of God is to humble yourself before the presence of God. Most important thing for the flock to do is to understand that I need to be fed. And you humble yourself as a flock of God, as the children of God, wanting what God has for you, not thinking that you've arrived and you want to instruct the preacher on what he needs to do and how he needs to pastor. I guarantee you, brother buddy, you're going to find one or two of those when you go into the ministry. When you finally get there to that place, yeah, there's always one or two. Praise God, there's not much more than one or two. Usually when the preacher leaves, there's more than one or two. Humbling yourselves. Wow. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then in verse 8, Peter identifies our enemy. The enemy of the flock, the enemy of the preacher. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, can I tell you, it's not, it should never be congregation looking to leadership as an enemy, or the leadership looking to the congregation as an enemy, or the congregation looking to the congregation as an enemy. That's exactly what the devil would have you to do. But if you stay fed and you stay humble, you'll not fall into that trap. But the trap will be there. Our enemy. And he gives us, I love the illustration of the king of predators. A lion is the king of the jungle. He is a king of all predators. God says you need to see the devil as the king of all predators, not looking to nurture you and admonish you and to love you, but to devour you. Yeah. He's the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he is as that roaring lion. And if you're not careful, he will seek and devour you. Because he does not want you to be the pastor that God wants you to be. Family, he doesn't want you to be the family that God wants you to be. You have an adversary. Church member, he doesn't want you to be the church member that God wants you to be. But if we're going to accomplish the things that God has established the church to accomplish, we have to be the people that God wants us to be, starting with the pastor and the pastor's family and the church membership and the church membership's family, and working together to accomplish the things that God has brought us together to accomplish all around the world, all around the world. And then in verse 9 is really where I want to spend a little bit of time here, because it's leading up to this. The message. What we must do to defeat the enemy. Understanding who the enemy is. He says in verse 9, whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. Resist steadfast in the faith. So as we look here and understand, this is what Peter is writing to the believers that are scattered abroad, establishing New Testament churches, and everything that's getting established in this first century church, we find that is the will of God, and it will continue. It has continued for some 2,000 years, and it will continue until Christ raptures it home, and there is always more to be done in every generation. And so the most, as we look here, resist steadfast. So that word steadfast is firmly fixed, steady, constant. And the first thing we see in verse 9 is being steadfast in your faith. Do you know what you believe? Well, I've been a member of this church for 37 years, preacher. I ought to know what I've been. I didn't ask you, do you know what the church preaches? I haven't asked you, do you know what the pastor preaches? What our statement of faith says? I'm asking you, individually, do you know what you believe?
Amen.
Have you allowed this church and this pastor and the leadership of this church to influence you? You'd believe what the Bible wants you to believe. You believe what the church preaches and teaches. You believe what our articles of faith establish. If you've allowed that, but not everyone has allowed that, it baffles me how people can sit in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church for so many years and then get upset with somebody and leave and go to a non-denominational, no doctrinal, nothing biblical church. How in the world can that happen when you've been in that church for 20 years? Can I tell you, it cannot happen if you believe what the church has been preaching, what the Bible has given to the pastor to feed you with.
Amen.
Somehow or another, as I preach on Wednesday night, you see, it's more than just words. You have to listen to the message. Too often people come in and they hear words, and words go in one ear and out the other ear, and they never receive a message. They just hear words. We need to hear more than words. We need to hear messages from the Bible.
Amen.
When you come to church, when you hear a message in song, it's more than just words. It's more than just music. It is a message from God ministering to you through song. Music ministry is just that. It's a ministry. It's not just words. When I'm up here preaching, and when your Sunday school teacher is teaching and your junior church workers are teaching, it's not just words. You have to prepare your children to come and go to a Sunday school class and get a message. Prepare your children to go to a junior church and get a message. Prepare yourself to come to a church service and leave with a message.
Amen.
It's not just words.
Good.
Do you know what you believe? You got to start there. You got to be steadfast. If you're going to resist the devil, he's going to try to get you to believe anything but the truth. But you have to be steadfast in your faith. I love what we find over in 1 Thessalonians as Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica. He says this, prove all things. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good.
Amen.
You come in here, you hear a message being preached. You need to receive the message and then go home and prove it. Make sure that what you just heard comes from this Bible right here. And when you know it comes from this Bible right here, then check it in and say, that is going to stay.
Amen.
That is what I believe. Not only because I've been taught that, not only does my church preach that, because I know I have read it, I have studied it. That's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And I'm going to be steadfast in that belief.
Amen.
Prove it. I think you ought to prove it. And hold on to it. Don't ever be talked out of it. Don't ever be persuaded to think another way. Steadfast in your faith. Cast away all doubts. Once you have proved it, once you know it's Bible, cast away all doubts. Hold on to that. The second thing, be steadfast in your convictions. Now, Peter would write in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, nor by filthy lucre, but ready of mind. Feed the flock of God. That is truth. That is, help them to know the difference. Help them to know what is a preference and what is a conviction. What is something that you can compromise and something that you cannot compromise. What is Bible, black and white?
Amen.
And what might be a man's preference?
Right.
Like white shirt instead of a blue shirt. That's not a conviction, that's a preference. And you need to know the difference. Because if it's a conviction, it's based on the Word of God, and the words of God will never change. And I need to be steadfast. I need to know what I believe and what the Bible teaches, but then I need to know what my convictions are. Based upon the Bible that never changes. Don't ever look to change a conviction. Now, Brother Buddy, you might have to revisit preferences. Because there in Texas, you might have to wear some boots. I think the kids might all enjoy wearing those boots and maybe even a hat, Texas hat, you know, be a cowboy. What about this? Maybe a horse out back? A couple ponies. Yeah, I think a couple ponies might be well-to-do in Texas. They might have some different preferences in Texas than they have in Indiana. Hey, man, you might even have to be a Texas? No, cowboys? No. That's a preference, amen? As long as you identify it as a preference, you have to revisit the preferences every now and then, but never compromise a conviction. Devil can get you to compromise one conviction. It's not much longer and you'll compromise two convictions.
Amen.
And there's no ending.
That's right.
No. Be steadfast. Be steadfast in your convictions. Be steadfast in self-discipline. Feed the flock of God which is among you. And then in verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage. But the next few verses are very important. Next few words. But being ensamples to the flock. An example. A living example. Can I tell you that's why we have qualifications? The Bible has qualifications for pastors. Because God wants you to be an example, to stand, to set before the congregation. That's why a deacon has to have these qualifications to be a deacon, because that should be a position of an example. But you do have a position of an example. Be steadfast in self-discipline so that you can maintain that example. Ensemble is a living example. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, Paul understood this. And he would write in verse 25 in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we temperate in all things. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, live my life, not as uncertainly. So fight I the battles that I'm going to battle in my life, the temptations, the trials. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." There's a purpose for the fight. There's a purpose for the things that I battle. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disqualified." How do I keep from being disqualified as an example? Be steadfast in self-discipline. Don't allow yourself to go there. Ask for God's help to maintain position as an example. And lastly, be steadfast in our hope. This is important. All of them are important, but as we're closing with this, in verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," it's almost time. Just a little more time before eternity. Don't ever lose sight of Christ's return. Don't ever lose sight of the existence of life after death, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Don't ever lose sight. Be steadfast in our hope. "When the chief shepherd shall appear," and he shall. That's Christ, is the chief shepherd. "You shall receive a crown." There's a lot of different messages I've heard and read and preached even on the crowns. But I don't think we could do it justice. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be, but I know that everyone's going to want them. I can tell you it's going to be something that is going to be heavenly. Receive a crown of glory. And it's never going to fade away for an eternity. The brightness never fade away. I don't know. Maybe I can see from one planet to the next with the brightness of the crown. From one dimension to the next. I don't know. I just know is if I have the possibility of gaining a crown, I want it. I'm going to look forward to it. Be steadfast in our hope. Our awareness of what shall come. If we are aware of what God has for us, it'll keep us rejoicing in the Lord. Brother Buddy and Hallie, kids, don't ever lose your joy. Don't ever lose your joy for the Lord. It's a new day. It's a new challenge. Yeah. Not always easy for change. I hate it. Every time we have a staff guide come to me, and usually it's in tears and everything else, preacher, I've been called to practice. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to have to go through all that again. Can I talk you out of it? Is it your way of wanting to raise? If I can talk them out of it, I would. But when God calls, puts his hand upon you, reveals to you what my will is for your life, you can't be talked out of it. Yeah. Maintain the joy in ministry. Whatever you have to do, maintain the joy of serving God. Because can I tell you, another 10 years, you're going to have one of your kids come to you and say, Daddy, been called. Yeah. I'm going to go to Bible college, prepare. I'm going to go to Africa. Now they're going to come back and be on staff at Lighthouse. God has a perfect plan. And there's always the joy of the Lord in serving God and being in God's will. Never lose sight. Be steadfast in that joy that God wants you to have. If I give every head bow tonight. Steadfastness. Peter presents a lot of things here that we need to take heed to. The church needs to be fed. Need to humble ourselves, all of us, pastors and members alike. And then it's to resist the enemy. And the way that we resist the enemy is being steadfast in all these areas. Serve God. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we thank you for this truth that we find in 1 Peter chapter 5. And God, I trust that each and every one of us would get hold of these things. And even though we might not all of us be going into full-time ministry, but we're in full-time service to our God, we want to maintain a testimony for Christ. And we need to apply all these things to our lives if we are going to maintain a testimony for our Savior. I pray, God, tonight, right now, if there's decisions that need to be made, could be someone here that's never received you as their Savior. Could be someone here that's getting ready to just turn away from the church and turn away from their Savior. And I pray tonight, God, that they would turn back to you, rededicate a life, confess a sin, whatever you would have them to do. I pray that you'd bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.